We have allowed these other forces like the White Citizens' Councils and the Klan to threaten and intimidate good people.
This is NAACP lawyer Thurgood Marshall in a 1956 interview with Mike Wallace. The interview took place after the Baltimore native successfully argued Brown versus Board of Education before the Supreme Court, but 11 years before he was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court as its first black justice. University of Baltimore law professor and attorney Larry Gibson doesn't cover this in his new biography of Marshall.
This book is really about not what so much what Thurgood Marshall did as what Thurgood Marshall was like and the forces that shaped him, and particularly Maryland.
Thurgood Marshall was born and raised here in West Baltimore, here on Lawrence Street, not far from where he grew up. Marshall's portrait is part of a wall mural of civil rights pioneers. Born in 1908 and coming of age during the Depression, Thurgood Marshall grew up in a heavily segregated Baltimore.
Baltimore and Maryland were schizophrenic of sort about race. That kind of dual personality on race continued. It was a state that had a lot of the segregation, some of it legally enforced, of the Deep South, but also that the state had some very good judges. It had a judicial system that one had a chance of getting a redress and bringing about changes. And this convinced Thurgood Marshall that the law could be used to change things for the better. And he proceeded to do that, beginning here in Maryland and having his first initial victories here. The first step on the road to Brown versus Board of Education in 1935 was the University of Maryland Law School case brought by Thurgood Marshall. This is the first time any judge in the United States ordered the desegregation of a facility.
When the Democratic Convention failed to do anything about the Southerners, they lost my support.
As far as you're concerned, it's been a plague on both your houses, both your parties, as far as an attitude toward race relations.
I think that in Congress today, the only bipartisan action is against civil rights and Negroes' rights.
Because we saw Thurgood Marshall in his latter years become somewhat of a recluse and almost a curmudgeon.
That's the nature of Supreme Court justices. They kind of like that.
That is correct, but that's not the young Thurgood Marshall that I describe in this book and who succeeded in bringing about so many changes using a combination of the law, politics, and what I call diplomacy.
If Thurgood Marshall were to come back and see Baltimore today, you mentioned that Maryland and Baltimore was schizophrenic when it came to race when he was growing up. How would he view race relations in Baltimore and in Maryland? Would he still think this area is still somewhat schizophrenic?
Well, yes, somewhat, but he would be a marvel at the progress. We have an African-American mayor, the dean of the University of Maryland Law School, the school that he brought the suit to desegregate in 1935, is Phoebe Haddon, an African-American woman. So he would understand that there's been change, but he would also recognize that there's still much progress that's needed.
You can't stand still. You must move. And if you don't move, they will run over you.
Larry Gibson's book, Young Thurgood, The Making of a Supreme Court Justice, is published by Prometheus Books. Robert Lang, WBAL and WBAL.com.